Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Fellowship. So good to be here today. Have all of us together for fellowship, worship the Lord. And if we edify the body of Christ here today, we've done a good thing. What do you think? Yes. Appreciate our guest in from Chicago. How many of you enjoyed that song Christy and Annie did last week? Yeah. I really did. I was hoping they'd do it again this week because this is the last Sunday with Annie, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, we also have some more very special guests here, Amanda Mosen and Jessica Hickey. I'm going to have them come up to us and give us a good report. Testify, just take their liberty, share with us what's going on in Chicago. The time we've spent with them, I've heard a lot of the ladies say they got dynamite testimonies. No pressure here, girls. You know. And I want to hear. I told them this morning. I've been sitting back and letting all the ladies do their thing, and I want to hear the word of the Lord. I want to hear the testimony from these ladies, whatever they decide to share with us. So if you ladies could come up here. I think they have microphones prepared for you. You know, Jessica's husband, Brad Hickey, is a deacon in Chicago. And so, as Gary shared, your ministry, yeah. Right? You can stand down there, whatever you want to do, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Certain way, or can we just kind of start?
Yeah, no. Okay. Take your liberty.
Okay. If you don't mind if I say something. So this morning, that song really touched me because Brian came out to Amanda and I, and he asked us to testify. And right away, fear came up in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what my journey has been about. You know, that thought came up, and I'm like, well, hold up a minute. The word of God is so much greater than that fear, that thought that separates us. So that was just something that her and I talked about this morning. And I'm not a public speaker. I don't speak much, so I do get nervous. But it's important to share, you know, our testimonies. And so many people have blessed me with their testimonies, people here that we've talked to. You had mentioned the light this morning, and you can see that in everybody here, you know, and that's awesome. We feel like family when we come here. So I'll let you talk a little bit, and then I'll go into what I want to say.
Okay. So Amanda, nice to meet you guys. Like Jessica said, man, when we first came here, it just felt right at home. You guys have made us, it's been amazing, the love that you guys have. It's great. So I'll just share a little bit about my journey, and it's been beautiful, a beautiful journey. When I first came, I was totally full of fear. That's one of the things that really, really God has dealt with me on. In talking to Pastor Dan, he was saying it's going to be one of my greatest salvations. So, there's that. I was full of strife as well. And, God has done some amazing, amazing stuff for me. And I'm just so thankful. Gary gave us both an amazing prophecy. He said I was Priscilla in his world. So, Priscilla kind of expounded to Apollos the better way, which is Jesus, right? So that's just been amazing. It really kind of put me on the fast track, I think, you know, to everything that's been going on. So another message that really spoke to me was, Brian, your message when you talked about forgiveness and how that's, you know, for you and stuff. And I think those words, like God's love and the forgiveness and stuff, has really just helped heal all that fear and helped heal all that strife and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's been amazing. So, and I appreciate you guys letting us share.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. So, I am Brad's wife, and I've been coming to church for quite some time. Was not really involved. I kind of hid a lot, you know, let him kind of do his thing. Kind of felt like, well, this is his thing, not really mine, and I'm just going to be there to support him. Well, about a year and a half ago, Pastor Gary came to me, and he gave me a word. And it's funny, because at that meeting that Brian was at, I was literally trying to hide from him and get away from him, so much so that I told my daughter, let's try to sneak out and not, you know. Well, he called me out and gave me a word, and since that day, I have never been the same. I mean, God is working in me. I believe that. Now I look at myself like I am God's. I'm not the enemy's. The enemy can't have me. Like, I started with him. You know, and that's kind of my journey, like with thoughts even coming in, like, well, God's greater than those thoughts that pull me away and that have separated me for so long. So Gary tells us all the time, you're a daughter of God and you're learning. So yeah, I'm not perfect and I'm learning, but I'm learning. And I know that God is inside of me. He lives in me. And I want to follow his truth. And it's helped me a lot. So yeah, it's been an awesome journey. Very, very cool. So I'm not going back.
Right.
That's a big thing.
Amen.
I'm never going back.
Amen.
Right? This is the new way.
Yes. Agreed.
Amen.
Amen.
A little bit of talk about fear here, huh? Jim, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Okay? Jim was so removed from the fear, he forgot all about it. That's how great it's been and what God's done in Jim's life here. You know, there's a common pattern I'm watching taking place, starting with the deliverance on what I call the week of Pentecost up in Donnelly with the elders' wives. And that is the women didn't really feel like they got the same part as the man. Jessica's testimony there, she is a part. Her and Brad are ministry together, as I am with my wife and Rick and Ann and all of us. So for God to come in and let you know you belong, you're a part of the family, you're a part of the ministry, and take it all the way down, you're a part of me, saith the Lord. We're together in this. And I'm going to talk to you today some about righteousness, I think. So how many of you got your Bibles here today? Turn with me over to the book of Hebrews. We've been talking about some really good things here in California. Repentance, change, God working on you, helping to change the way that you think. And we're going to get more into some of that today. Also, we've talked a couple weeks ago about sonship, that there's no greater authority than the Son. There's no angel, there's no flesh and blood, there's nothing greater than being in sonship. And remember, you are the body of Christ and members in particular, so you can be a partaker of this authority, of this sonship, of the power that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Then we talked about having a gospel. How many of you believe that you got a gospel here today? As Paul said, he talked about his gospel. And we had a great study this last week where Paul was talking in 2 Corinthians 4, I believe. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it be hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest, see, here's the hope. The God of this world looks to blind your mind, but he said, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So how does God get you out of bondage, get you out of captivity, out of the grips of the God of this world? He sends you light. And God is light. So he speaks, and if you pay close attention to that, it's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. That's the power of this gospel that we're talking about. And when you hear it, that light comes to you, Julie, now you're a partaker of that gospel becomes yours and the Lord's together. This is how he works the righteousness that we're going to talk about here today. He sends forth a word, and when you receive that word by believing that word and walking it, God imputes his righteousness unto you. How many of you think that from the day you were born until this day, you've never done anything wrong? Everything's all been right. No? A couple things wrong maybe here and there? Do you think that God goes after what's wrong to make it right? Does God go after what's wrong to make it right? Yes, he does. Absolutely. See, when we're talking about repentance, most of the time, especially in the religious mindset, repentance is always associated with sin. I have to repent because I've sinned. There's sin in my life, I need to repent. But when you look at the word repented in the King James translation of the Bible, there is nobody, no entity, no flesh and blood, not anybody repented more than God. God does not have sin. What did he do? He changed his mind. And we talked about this recently, but there's scriptures that says that God was going to bring evil on some people for what they did, but he repented of the evil he was going to bring. Another place it says that God repented of the good that he was going to do for some people. So is God in sin when he's repenting, or is he changing his mind because it's the right thing to do? See, this is why God is working with you and I. He's helping us to repent or change because it's what we need. It's the right thing to do. And as I've said, God is always right. God does nothing wrong. God works, lives, and operates in righteousness. Unfortunately, because of disobedience, sin entered the world, and we don't always respond that way. We're not always right. But in God's grace, his love, kindness, and mercy, he looks into your heart, and he sees what's wrong, and he's there to make it right. He'll take what the devil has tried so hard to bring evil in your life, and he'll impute righteousness unto you. And each time this happens, Julie, with each change of thought, you become more like God and a partaker of his divine nature continually. Isn't that awesome? So with the words I'm speaking to you here today, could God bring change into your life? Could he impute righteousness unto you here today, Johnny on the spot? That's why we do what we do, because that's the work of the Holy Ghost. That's the work of God. There is a whole lot to say about righteousness. It's the first thing mentioned in the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. So if righteousness, or the right things of God, that's what righteousness is imputed unto you, where does it come from? You say, God, absolutely, but did he send the Holy Ghost? See, righteousness, peace, and joy is where? It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in God. So God sends his Spirit, Aaron, to you. And he'll work the salvation, and a big part of the Lord's salvation is change. It's repentance. And we've been talking about these things. I'm very excited about them. Looking forward to getting even more into today the righteousness of God. So in Hebrews, the first chapter, beginning in the 8th, I think we're just going to read the 8th and 9th verse. How does that sound? Now we're still in talking about sonship, the power that comes with that. Remember, he told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power upon high, talking about the outpouring of God's Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where they were all together, 120 in upper room, and God poured out his Spirit, fulfilling a prophecy of the prophet Joel, that in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall dream dreams, your old men shall what? See visions? And he said, also I will pour out of my Spirit on who? All flesh. All flesh. Your young men, Walker, get that scripture for me in Acts chapter 2. I think your young men will see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Let's do it right real quick. Hold on to it, Walker. But unto the Son he saith, this is Hebrews, the first chapter in the 8th verse, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And we're talking about Jesus here. He's speaking about Jesus, loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Have you ever thought that those two go together? Love and hate? You ever heard of a love-hate relationship? Huh? One that argues all the time but stays together? When you're loving righteousness, what comes along with that is hating the iniquity. But here's the problem. Sometimes the iniquity's hidden, and you don't know exactly what to hate. But when you begin to love righteousness, the right things of God that God does, he draws a line. He makes a separation. This is what's right. This is my righteousness. This is what separates you from me. This is the sin. This is the iniquity. And a lot of people are scared to even say the word hate, because it's a very big word, and it's a very powerful word. But when you're walking in righteousness and you're walking in the mind of Christ, the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So the Lord knows how to do it, and I would caution you and warn you, before you go hating on something, before you go hating on somebody or something definitely being in the mind of Christ. Because if not, you're going to mess the thing up. And we know that God is love. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if you're thinking in the mind of Christ, somebody mentioned it earlier about being kingdom-minded. Jennifer, you said in your exhortation to us, opening service, about doing what's right. That's the simplicity of it. And think about this. Has anybody else besides me, especially growing up, wanted to do what's right? And you knew there were things within you that were wrong. And you just didn't want to live that way anymore. You wanted to do better, Julie. Then when I found the Lord, or the Lord found me, because he wasn't lost, I was. Doesn't it say that he came to seek and save that which was lost? I changed from just wanting to do what's right to do right with the Lord. See, there are people that want to be right. You know, I just want to be right. And they'll argue with you forever. Excuse me. They live their life to be right. I can't be wrong. I'm always going to be right. If there's a conversation, I'm going to be the one that's right. That's not what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about being right in front of the Lord, Walker, right with God. The only way that happens is when the Lord searches your heart, sees what's wrong, addresses it with you, reveals it to you, and then when you receive that word of correction, reproof, whatever it is he's teaching you or showing you, he imputes the right thing to you. He imputes righteousness. This is why it's so important to listen and hear the voice of God continually. And you can hear that by yourself. You could be in a dream and a vision, it happened for you. But I'm going to encourage you, it could happen for you right here, right now, here today, with the words that have been spoken to this point and that are going to be spoken throughout this service. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Walker, read that whole thing there.
This is Acts 2 and verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
There you go. That straightened it out. I said it the other way around. And I knew, Daryl, when it talks about the dreams, it's a little higher level. The old men will dream dreams. And what he keeps saying there, Walker, he also gave some more promise here.
Yeah, he said, your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Want me to keep going?
Who did he say he would pour it out on? Your sons, your daughters, yep, your old men. But didn't it say, Walker, on your servant? On your servants. I was talking with Jessica and Amanda at the house and let them know, and I believe Chicago is the same way. If we have anybody that comes into this church and has a heart after God and wants to do something for God, we're going to give you a job. We're going to put you to work. We're going to give you an opportunity to show the Lord, I love you. To show the Lord, my intent is to do what's right. My intent is to serve you. And not out of debt, where you hold a string there, and everything you do, there's a string attached to it. No, it's I love you for who you are, for what you stand for everything you've done, and I just want to serve. Amen? You can't go wrong with the heart of a servant, let me tell you right now. Now, back to where our opening portion of Scripture that we read. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. What does the throne represent? A place of power and authority? Judgment, leadership? He said, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Does anybody know what a scepter is? If you look it up in the concordance, it's a rod. It's a stick. It will represent correction. But specifically here, this is a scepter of righteousness. How many of you have ever been over what's the big castle, Hearst Castle in San Simeon? If you ever go back there, the one room where they have the dinners and the guests all that have chairs on each side of the thing, right behind that is a huge table, and there's a beautiful gold scepter sitting back there. I sent a picture of it to Pastor Daniel because he had had a witness of me ruling a kingdom, and I had a golden scepter in my hand. So it means a lot to me. But the golden scepter, because I've had experiences in the spirit, dreams and visions, where I've seen people sitting on thrones where they had a scepter, but it wasn't of gold. It was wood. And in this experience that I had, I knew that the rod or the scepter they had was not the purity and the righteousness of God. That's what the gold represents, Julie. It's pure. Your judgment in your kingdom is right. It's pure. It's good. It's from God. So how many of you have ever read the book of Esther? Oh, it's one not everybody reads, is it? Let me refresh your memory a little bit. The king in that book had a scepter, and it was a golden scepter. And when Esther come forward, see, this is the representation of the scepter, Walker. If you had done something wrong and you approached the king, if he held out the scepter, you would live. It's almost like the thumbs up, thumbs down. The scepter decided you're going to live or you're going to die. And in that story, when I believe it was Mordecai came forward at the request of Esther, the king said, Esther can live. It's a judgment is what it shows. But again, notice here, in this kingdom of the Son that sits on the throne forever and ever, he said, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And this is the reason why. Because, he says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. How many of you want to be anointed? What does anointing mean? Well, it's when they take some oil and they dump it on your head, or they take a little bit and put it. No, it's much more than that. Jesus' last name is not Christ. Christ is the Greek form, the word Christo, which means Christ in English, translated into our language, and it means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. To be anointed is to be sanctified. To be anointed is to be consecrated. To be anointed is to be prepared for a specific task, to do something. So if God puts an anointing on you, he's got to work for you. If God puts an anointing on you, he is going to send you to perform a task for him. How do I get anointed? Well, I go down to the grocery store, Carrie, and I get me some olive oil, huh? No, if it was only that simple. How do you get anointed, folks?
By being a servant.
By being a servant. That's beautiful. Daryl is catching on to the way I think. Did you hear what it said? He said, the very scripture we're reading right here, he said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, your Father, hath anointed you above all your brethren. So I just let out a great secret here. You want to be anointed? You want to walk in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, be sent of God to work a work for him? Then start loving righteousness and hating iniquity. It'll work every single time. In the beginning, God created man. How many of you think in the beginning, when God created man? Go with me to Genesis, the first chapter. I think we're going to read in the 26th verse. I'll say this two different ways. How many of you believe in the beginning, when God created man, he was perfect? Oh, interesting. Hear a pin drop. Not everybody's saying yes or no. They're just kind of sitting in the middle there. I'll say it differently and you'll be able to answer me better, okay? How many of you think in the beginning God knew what he was doing? So when God created man, he did it right, or did he do it wrong? He doesn't do anything wrong. He knew exactly what he was doing. In Genesis, the first chapter and the 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now I want to point something out. I'm going to say it a couple times. I want you to pay close attention and remember this, okay? God created them. When he did it right, how did he do it? God created man in his image after his likeness, okay? So it's a creation. How many of you understand that you're being created? You're being made. I'm going to say it. Jessica said it right there. You're being made new. We'll read to you. How is the new man made, Daryl? He is created in righteousness and true holiness. But the thing is, guess what? Who came first? The old man. The old man was there first. So are you getting recreated? Huh? You'll answer yes here in a little bit, especially when I read the scripture that the new man is renewed. That just tells you right there. When was your mind new? I just read it to you. So it has to be renewed, done again. You're getting a do-over. God is working with you right now to create you in his image and after his likeness. The answer to everything I'm saying is yes. Yes, he's doing it. He's doing it in Jesus Christ with the words that he's speaking to us. He's putting us in righteousness. He's putting us in that body, and he's not imputing sin unto us while he's doing it. Isn't that awesome? When God creates, he uses his word to do that. This chapter right here where we're reading, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what happened? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That darkness was upon the earth, and what did God do to fix it, to make it better? God said, darkness was upon the face of the deep, so what did God do? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now here's the thing, Carrie. What did God say about bringing light to that darkness? The same thing you do every time God imputes righteousness unto you or brings light in your life, at least I hope you do. God saw that it was good. Huh? Is it good when light comes to you, Jessica? Annie? When that light comes and reveals that darkness, Amanda, when he reveals it, it's not there to leave you in it, it's to overcome it. What is darkness? If you just looked it up on the dictionary, or what is darkness? The absence of light. So what does God do? He brings the light. He sends it to you, and there's no more darkness. And then God says, that was good. So back where we were reading in verse 27, again, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. But then he also, we've been talking about this sonship and this power, listen to what he sent you with, Jim. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. Is that power, Jim? Is that a throne? Is that a place of authority? Yes. Could you be holding? Can you imagine yourself right now sitting on a throne, Jim? A golden one, not a wood one. Holding a scepter of pure gold, not a rod of wood. Even Jesus in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, when he came forth from the woman, the child, what happened there? Was he found in heaven to rule the nations with a rod of iron? What did David say in Psalms 23 about the rod? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, huh? See what this scepter represents, this rod that we're talking about? And specifically, a scepter of righteousness. me start this over again. Oh, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, when we're talking about the old men and the new men, it's really, the whole Bible shows it. Who, in the beginning, who's the old man? Who's the man of sin? I'll make it even easier. Who brought sin into the world? See, God knew what he was doing. He created man, male and female, in his likeness after his image, but then something went wrong, Carrie. What was wrong? It wasn't God. It was a thing called disobedience. By one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. Listen closely. Walker, find this for me so I don't mess it up. But by one man's obedience, and it says this very specifically, by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. So when God is creating you and he's speaking to you, please, if you've done this in the past, don't do it anymore. Don't get offended. Don't get upset. Don't let your countenance fall. Don't think you have done something wrong, although you have done something wrong. God's not holding you guilty. You are accountable, but you're not guilty. He's showing you, Tim, that yes, you've done something wrong, but I am acquitting you. I am taking away the judgment. I am taking away the punishment, and I am imputing righteousness to you by sending you the thing that changes the wrong thing to something right. You got it, Walker? Is that Romans 6?
Romans 5, 19.
5.
For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Shall many. Are you a part of that many here today? Are you being created, even as we speak right here, and being made a new man, even though you're a woman? See, in Christ Jesus, there's neither male or female. We're going beyond this physical realm. We're going into the spirit. We're going into the body of Christ, where God's not looking at your genitalia. He's not looking at if you're male or female. What's he looking at? Terry said the heart. You know what he's really looking at? His righteousness. And he's imputing it unto you. He said, here's the opportunity to change. Here's a word for you to receive, believe, and walk in and be a partaker of his divine nature. Now, Ephesians, the second chapter, let's read the 13th verse. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, there was something separating us. There was an enmity that God had to do away with. Do you know what it was? What is it? The law. Ordinances by commandments that cause you to have to work to be righteous. But it doesn't work that way anymore, huh? Because God brought a new way, Julie. He brought a better way. He gave us a better covenant, a better agreement. And what is that one? It's not by works. It's by grace. It's by the grace that Jesus Christ... See, the law came by Moses, but how did grace and truth get here? By Jesus Christ. And that's what he's doing every time he visits you. The middle wall of partition, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. What was that kingdom again? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. So he did away with the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, and then here's where it's all taking place. So you may not change everything about you here. You may not change your, you know, everything you do here. Although you can change your hair color, you can change your your haircut, you know, we can change, can't change your height after a certain age, can you? But what about the work that's being done in the Spirit? Can God come in and make those things new? And can he do away with the old? A better covenant, isn't it? Again, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter this time. Oh, let me see. 22. He said, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. What is he equating the old man to? A way that you speak, isn't it? The former conversation. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Does God fix the corruption that's in your spirit and make it new? He absolutely does. How does he do that? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. So do you have something to do here? You got to put it on. And that you put on the new man. Remember the word I said to pay close attention to was create, right? That you're a part of his creation. He's creating you new right now. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians, the third chapter, the ninth verse. Paul says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So in the beginning, did he create man in his image and his likeness? Did he do it right? What happened? There was something wrong there. There was a serpent that changed the truth to a lie that brought corruption to man. And by the obedience of one man, he changes what was corrupt. He removes the disobedience and he imputes righteousness unto you. I'm going to go one last place. Romans, the fourth chapter. Because this is talking about our father Abraham and what he has found as pertaining to the flesh. Now, we're all in the flesh here right now, correct? What about your mindset? Is there a flesh beyond this physical body? Is it a perception and a way that you think? But if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, according to Romans 8, you are no longer in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. So it's definitely a mindset when we're talking about flesh. But in this flesh, Abraham found something. My question to you is, have you found what Abraham's found? Let's read. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? This is a question. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I've been talking about righteousness all morning long. How do we get that righteousness? Let's go through a progression here real quick. What's the beginning of you being made right or of righteousness being imputed to you? Let's look at the scripture I just read. God. That's the beginning. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. So we had to have the source. We have to have God first. But then you said it right. You got to believe, don't you? God spoke a word to Abraham, and by faith, Julie, he believed in it. Here today, if you believe the words that God's speaking to you, do you realize you are the children of Abraham by faith? In this chapter, it calls him the father of all them which do believe. How important was it for Abraham to believe God and have righteousness imputed unto him, even for our sakes here today? It was of the utmost importance. How important it is for you to believe God, to have that righteousness imputed unto you for your future generations, for your children. Huh? It's very important. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. See, believe this or not, your life, your existence, you being here, you are going to have one of two things imputed to you. It's going to be your sin, or it's going to be righteousness. So I'll leave it like this. Some famous words of Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Let's say it together. As for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. And you just told me that you're going to choose righteousness. And I'm with you. Amen? Right? God bless you. Appreciate you. Annie, Amanda, Jessica, we love you. Thank you so much for coming and being with us and gracing us with your presence. Okay, God bless you.